All right, so you can't go a day, today is no different, than reading a story about these data centers and what wealth it's going to bring to our region, how many jobs, all of this, all of that. Today's no different. I saw a big story in the Post-Gazette about something that's going on in Indiana County that we've been reading about in Homer City and talking about it. Let me welcome in Senator Joe Pittman right now. Hi, Senator. How are you?
Colin, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much for coming on. And I was having a conversation very early this morning with a mutual friend of ours, and we're going through this story that was in the Post-Gazette, and he's fired up about the place where he's from, maybe going through a rebirth. And same thing with you. You're somebody who's from up there, that 41st District, and everybody's talking positively about everything that it's going to bring in. And one graph sort of caught my eye in the Post-Gazette story, Senator. It says, during this Q&A, concern over added load on school districts, real estate taxes, and an already strained housing climate, people had questions about. And I was having this conversation this morning, and I said, I can't figure out how one solitary person in this world has a question about the cavalry coming and bringing in a gazillion jobs to an area. So when people ask you those sort of things, what do you say to that, Senator?
Well, I say to them that it's a good problem to have. Let's be real clear here. This entire project is about a revitalization of a coal-fired power plant that is going to produce a massive amount of electricity, double the output of what the Homer City Generating Station was providing. And so what it's doing is it's bringing the supply to meet the demand of the data centers and exceed it. So it's ultimately going to be good for consumers. They're going to pay a massive amount of property taxes. And when you bring people into a community, you bring wealth into a community. I'm going to give you one real quick anecdotal example.
Sure.
Just last night, I was talking to a young gentleman who moved to this region to take a job with this project. He came here from Ohio. He bought a house in our community, and his daughter actually transferred to enroll at IUP. And so it's a very small example of bringing new people, new blood, and a new demographic to our community, which this region desperately needs. This is a win-win-win the whole way around.
Senator Joe Pittman joining. I've talked to Kim Ward. I've talked to Senator McCormick. And now I'm talking to you. And people say from just about the tip of Monroeville all the way up to the northern reaches of your district, the 41st District, this has an opportunity to revitalize a whole geographic region. Would you agree to that in totality?
I absolutely agree to that. And we may have to make some adaptations with our housing market. We may have to make some adjustments within school districts. But let's face it, our school districts are declining in enrollment. We have plenty of physical plant whenever it comes to public schools and public education. Our population's dropping. So we do have a housing stock and a housing market. It may need to be revitalized. But that, again, is a good problem to have because investment brings investment. And the energy around this project is bringing energy to our community, no pun intended, but a lot of desire to see investment in our community. And it's just, I'm over the moon about the project.
Now, you have the power, i.e. the ability to get power there. Is part of the appetizing part of this, Senator, in that you have the brain power and the manpower, the brain power from people who are at places like Carnegie Mellon and nearby, and also the manpower, people who have maybe in the past worked in adjacent fields that are pretty close to this. You have sort of that human power that can be quickly transitioned into working in this field.
You do, Colin, but there is something to take note of. You know, the trade unions in particular who have made a living on outages of power plants. Those outages haven't been around for the last several years, and a lot of the tradesmen and women have been packing suitcases and not lunchboxes whenever they have to go find work, and they're going to be packing lunchboxes again. But there's also a vacuum of talent within those union halls because they've not had the sustainable work to bring in new talent. Now, that's a good thing in the sense that the trades are going into our high schools, into our technical schools. They're offering family-sustaining job opportunities to these young men and women. And keeping our young people here is the biggest part of this project that excites me. And it's going to bring new people in. It's a good combination, and it's exactly what we need.
If I'm, I don't know, 9th, 10th grader in a school in Armstrong, Indiana, Jefferson, or Westmoreland County, I may think about aligning right now with Votech and then drifting into trade school and jumping in with one of the locals. That may seem to be a pretty sustainable field, Senator.
My oldest son's a junior at the Indiana County Technology Center. He's in the construction trades. I see it within my own kids. I grew up in this region. The opportunities in front of our youth today are unrivaled. When I graduated from high school in 1995, the mantra was, you got to go to college, period. Now the mantra is, you have a plethora of options and you need to evaluate all of them. College is great. I encourage people to attend college. Certainly IUP is in my backyard, but you have to understand the opportunities go well beyond that. I always say to kids when I'm talking to them, you know, when I call a plumber, the one question I don't ask is, how much is it going to cost? Because at the end of the day, I just need a plumber.
Last thing for you before I let you go, Senator Joe Pittman joining. So much happening, data center up in his neck of the woods. What has your relationship been like with EQT? Some people see it as a big monolith. Some people see it as something that's going to push the ball forward a lot. I know they're going to supply a lot of the natural gas to this project and many, many more. Have you forged a good relationship with them?
I work very well with EQT. Now, it was a wholly private transaction between the developers of the project and EQT to come to that deal, whatever their deal is. But I think EQT is a solid partner in this project. And I think all of the, frankly, the members of the Marcellus Shale Coalition, those who are developing this God-given natural resource beneath our feet, is absolutely critical to getting this region humming.
Senator, good man. I appreciate it. As always, we'll talk again soon and be well.
Thank you, Colin. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Good, good stuff. Yeah, you know, there was just a big protest in Springdale, and I get it. And there's going to be people that maybe speak out about what's going on with this data center in Homer City. But for me, when I see that the concerns are over school districts adding load, okay, let's hire some more teachers. And real estate taxes going up, that'll be quelled by business taxes, I would think. And strained housing climates, okay, let's build some more and let's get it moving. And then we can't talk about the environmental things, I think, but when you have people like Senator Joe Pittman who are charged with the duty of bringing jobs into the area, I think you got to bring jobs into the area. And I don't want to say figure all the rest of that out on the backside, but let's get a place like Westmoreland and Indiana and Jefferson and Armstrong County humming, and then we'll get it figured out the rest of that later. Great stuff from Senator Pittman. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Here we go. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Listen for that drive at 5. The story's driving the news every single day at 5. It's brought to you by ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Drive at 5 today will be our very own sports director, Jeff Hathorn, talking about the big weekend of sports. How about that? Big thanks to Senator Joe Pittman for joining. He's a good man. He really is. And he's doing a lot for that neck of the woods. Proud Indianan. Indiana, Pennsylvania. Up there. He went to Purchase Line High School. How many of you right now could get in your car and drive to Purchase Line High School without directions? Or even get near it? I say 5% of the people listening to this show. Purchase Line High School. How many of you have been to Purchase Line High School? Man. Anyhow, let's talk to Mike and Shaler. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Oh, living the dream, my man. Hey, the one big thing that has not been talked about much is rates on electricity for residential and small business customers, ratepayers. And honestly, the last things that came out of PJM, which is the electricity ISO for this part of the world, had record rates.
Right. And you know what? I've read all about this, Mike. Some people, and here's where they scare you. They'll say, there's a 267% increase. Do you know what the national average increase is for the first 5 years and then it subsides if a data center's built?
Okay, show me the money.
Wait, can I tell you? Can I finish though?
Sir.
For the first 5 years after it's built, the national rate increase is about 6.1%. And then, let me tell you this. Generally, property taxes offset. They lower your property tax because business taxes come in and the town gets built up around it. Then it offset and it lowers after the build of that data center. And so you're right back to square one.
Speculation, my man.
Wait, no, I just gave you data. You're the person speculating.
The whole thing you talk. If you just have the frozen the rates, then the little guys can't lose. I mean, think about this. Who basically is saving on property taxes? And you're going to say, oh, the mom and pop house property owners. Well, what has happened since COVID?
Well, Mike, you need a better phone.
A lot of the hedge funds came in and they bought a lot of the homes off of the market, and subsequently the costs of housing have skyrocketed.
Can I ask you a question? You're the same kind of person
that real estate.
You're the same kind of person that yells about gentrification probably, right?
No, I fully support gentrification.
Okay, well then, this is exactly the same thing. Would you rather an area sit there and rot, or would you rather an area build itself up, or rebuild itself in this case? And
like I said, I believe a lot of what Senator Pittman said. I believe the thing I want as a small mom-and-pop real estate investor is I want them to cap the rates because that's what's stressing my tenants.
Well, I'm sorry. If they're going to build new places. Wait, listen, though. If they're going to build new places, they're not necessarily refurbishing old places. Maybe there's not that many seats at the table for small ma and pa real estate investors, sir.
Okay, then.
Then stick to Lawrenceville and stick to East Liberty and stick to Sharpsburg and Millville and Aetna. Like, you don't get, when they're building new homes, you don't get a seat at the table, small ma and pa real estate investor. You don't.
Then we'll fight.
Go ahead and fight. You don't get a seat at the table when they're building gigantic new plans of homes. That's not the way the world works, man. If you want to be small ma and pa real estate investor, go buy a home and flip it in Cheswick. I mean, what are we doing here? Do you want to revitalize areas, or do you want to cry that you should get the same things that the people with millions and millions of dollars get? You sound like Ed Gainey. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. And look, there was just two new data centers built, one in Maryland, in Western Maryland, and one in Ohio. Residential bills in one case went up $12, in another case $13.75. And they're just built. So they will subside, one would think, and that's not 500%, 285%, both under 14 bucks. So as soon as more businesses come in, because there will be peripheral businesses, after more people start to move there, they'll need more restaurants, they'll need more shoe stores, they'll need more gas stations, everything, when people move in places like that, then those places will start to pay more business tax, and eventually your property tax generally won't be as much. That's the way that, like, the world works. I don't have a whole lot of time for people who want to revitalize, and then the cost of doing business is an upfront cost, and then you complain. Like, move to the middle of Montana or Wyoming then. Or if you want a seat at the table as a real estate investor and you got a couple $100,000, go flip a house on California Avenue. You don't get in this game. You just don't. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. City schools want to do something. And I'm telling you, it's controversial. I'll get into that coming up next. There was a really bad bus crash right near the arena, by the way. That's not good. Speaking of the Penguin game being on, I'm not a huge hockey fan. I like to go in person and check it out. It's great entertainment, but I won't sit down and watch a hockey game. I'm just honest, okay? In the playoffs, maybe, here and there. I'm just not a huge hockey fan. But I appreciate it, but I just don't get into it. I will say this. I don't care if it's team handball or Icelandic ski ball. If there's live sports on during my show, it's on the television. Because it's rare that there's live sports on during my show. Because it happens, it starts at 2 o'clock and then it goes, you know, until 6. So any live sports that's on, it gets put on the TV. That's just the way that it works. So the Penguins game is on and they're winning 1-0 as the second period is winding down. These people in Sweden are nuts for it, though. They were, like, lined out for 3-4 hours outside waiting to get in. And they already had tickets. They were just waiting to get in. Nuts. It'll be nuts on the North Shore all weekend. Excited for that. I'll talk to Jeff Hathorn coming up at 5. One thing enough people aren't talking about, and it's really a side story, but it is a story, how chewed up this field's going to be for the Steelers at game and how much of a chance it has to be a national embarrassment again. So that's always good. All right, I don't know where I stand on this. I got to figure it out. Actually, I think I do know where I stand on it, and it might be unpopular. Anyway, Pittsburgh City School Board member Sylvia Wilson was talking about phones in schools because that's become a hot-button topic again with the city schools and so many schools. And she had this to say.
I've had many parents, and I've even talked with students where the phones have created dangerous situations in some cases. And if a child needs to reach their parent, it isn't necessary to have a cell phone on them. The office is there.
Okay. Let me try to talk through this. If kids are going to have beef, they all have phones. Second of all, they're going to have beef between the hours of 3:30 and then the next day when they got a report from school. So taking that phone away during school hours won't eliminate somebody having a problem with somebody else. It'll just kind of do it in real time during the school day. That's number one. Number two, it's not like it used to be where there's a payphone at school or whatever, need to get in touch with somebody. It's just, it's different. Kids don't go to the office and do that, but it's nice to think. I split it down the middle with these cell phones in school stuff. And here's why. And look, I think it's indigenous to each school. And there are different things at each school that are variables and factors. Case in point, my kids are involved in after-school activities. And there's no activity bus at our school. Like when I was growing up, there was an activity bus. If you had sports practice, I don't know, I think the bus was at 5 o'clock or something like that. And you got on it and it took you home, just like a regular bus. There weren't as many. You might have to walk a little further, but there was ones throughout the whole district. They don't have those at our school. Our school district has a pretty major roadway running right through the middle of it, Route 8. Kids can't walk from there. They're involved in extracurricular activities. Sometimes, maybe even oftentimes, practice gets changed. Practice gets moved. Knucklehead kids, because they all are. I forgot my socks. I forgot this pair of shoes. I forgot this. I forgot that. I left my hoodie in the other building. Okay. Things change. Things aren't, you know, static. They need to call home and say, pick me up at the junior high instead of the high school. Pick me up at 6 instead of 5 o'clock. Or we're done early. Or practice is canceled. By virtue of that, I think the kids should have their phones when they leave the house so that they have access to them during the day, maybe in a quiet moment, or especially right after school before their activity starts. Or even to touch base. Hey, how was school? School was great. When you pick me up, Yeah, can you have dinner? Oh, yeah, I'll pick something up. What do you want? A hoagie. Okay, I'll have it in the car ready for you because we're going right to another activity sometimes. There's not a payphone sitting around anymore. There's not. You can't, and sometimes after school, the office is closed, right? So by virtue of that, I do think that they should have their phones. And if you don't take it at 7 in the morning, it ain't just going to appear at noon somewhere. You got to have it with you. So thus, you would have it in school. Now, I am for meeting you in the middle. No way in the world should they have it in class. Nope, don't need it, don't have to have it. If you want to tell me they got to keep it in their backpack, okay. You want to tell me they have to keep it in some pouch, all right. I don't even think they need it walking around in school. They can keep it in their backpack or their locker the whole time. The one place that I did see, and I read a story on this, and it was a school in Alabama, I believe it was, that they had all those rules, but the one steadfast, and they did this at Woodland Hills, I believe, too. The one steadfast, hard rule with all these other rules were no cell phones in the cafeteria. Oh, yeah? What's that do? When we eat, we talk to each other. That's a time to commiserate. It's a time to exchange ideas. It's a time to break bread. It's a time to get back to old school. Look at me when I talk to you. Let's have a conversation. And they found that to harbor a much better and have a much better atmosphere whenever in the cafeteria as the kids are eating, that a kid's not sitting across from another kid and two other kids are at the table and all four of them are ignoring each other and staring at their phone. I am 100% for that. No phones in the cafeteria. But for a communication device to be able to communicate with home or even with each other in those hours when school are over, maybe even if you forgot something, to have your parents run it up to school, that's just 2025. It is. And here's the other part. If you try to eliminate phones in totality from kids, they're going to find a way to break it. They're going to put it in their sock. They're going to put it in some hidden compartment in their backpack. It's a total uphill battle, 100%. And like I said, especially for the kids involved in extracurriculars, I just think they need their device and have to have their device because it's not 1978 or even 1998 anymore. There's not a bunch of payphones sitting around or public phones for them to get in touch with people. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. What do you recommend in this realm? City schools, at least this one school board member says, no ifs, no ands, no buts, no phones. We don't want them on premises. I'm here to tell you that's not going to work. But I can meet you in the middle with some different proposals. So let's talk about those coming up next. Again, 866-391-1020. Woo! We'll talk a little bit more about Fetterman in the 4 o'clock hour. That's Senator John Fetterman. I'm going to tell you where PennDOT undefeated, untied, unscored upon. It's hard to get one past PennDOT. It just is. They are something. But I was talking about these cell phones in schools, and there was also the city school solicitor. She was on there talking about this policy potentially.
The board would prohibit the use and or possession of any electronic devices, including cell phones, by students during the school day. Students would be allowed to bring the device with them to school, but not on the, be allowed to use it on the school bus, and must turn the device into school personnel upon entry into the building.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Now, they couldn't figure out a Carrick how to get a knife off a kid that sliced up a bunch of other kids in the hallway. You think they're going to try to be able to get a cell phone off of way more kids that are coming into school? Let me say that again. They couldn't get like a freaking Bowie knife off of a kid last month when he stabbed a couple other kids at Carrick. But they think, and that was one kid with a knife, they think they're going to get 500 kids to hand them their cell phone, kids are going to go like this. I can already tell you how this is going to work. Hey, do you have a phone on you? No. Okay, keep it moving. Meanwhile, the kid has a phone somewhere in his backpack. Joe's in Homestead. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Colin. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Good. Hey, I got a 12-year-old daughter. Of course, she got a cell phone. I'm all about her taking it to school and with her and keeping it. And like you, I'm the 50-50. I don't think they should have it in class. I don't think they should have it at lunchtime. And I'm also against them putting it in them Ziploc bags. I think that in the event of emergency, they need to be able to call somebody. That's just what I think. What are your things?
Yeah, I'm okay with the Ziploc bags. They can be easily cut open, and they've given demonstrations on that. Phones are one thing. I think that schools should, to offset this whole worry that parents would have about phones, somebody needs to call me, somebody needs to do this, they should have them in their bags. We need to first fund officers and metal detectors at all schools, and the fact that hasn't happened yet is beyond me.
I'm grateful our district has officers in every school, and I think it's worth every penny that they spend. I think these schools.
Now, what are you at? Are you at Steel Valley or West Mifflin or where?
No. I was just driving through Homestead. I'm in West Jefferson Hills.
Gotcha. TJ. Okay.
Yeah, and I think they should stop spending money on these ridiculous football fields and invest in security.
Well, I think you could do both, actually. It doesn't need to be a ridiculous football field, but I think you could build a nice place and invest in it. I think enough school districts don't look into the grant money that's actually available for security, and they don't tap that all the way out, and they don't work with, or at least some of them, don't work with the local authorities enough and try to figure out a program to have that officer paid or officers paid in split time. Now, some places, big places like North Allegheny, they can have their own police force. That's great. Other places, it's just not feasible, and you have to split it, whereas if, say, a guy works 70% of his schedule for the school and 30%, the rest of the 30% of the year for the township. But if it's more economically feasible to just start your own police force, do that. But in this day and age, there's no way in the world that casinos should be tougher to get into than schools. And in some places, they are. You got to stop. There's an armed guard. There's a metal detector. And they check your ID. Some schools, they don't got that. They don't have those safeguards. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. My man, Jack, it's a big football weekend for you.
Bills started last night, Colin.
Yeah, what happened in that game last night?
Old Dominion crushed Troy.
Have you ever been to either one of those places?
I don't know where they are.
Well, Troy is in Troy, Alabama, and Old Dominion is in... Go ahead. Where's your guess?
Norfolk, Virginia.
You think it's in Norfolk?
Yes.
It is in Norfolk. So you knew where they were.
Well, I didn't know where Troy was.
Yeah, Troy. It used to be Troy State. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they used to be 1AA. So
yeah, now they're, what is that, not Conference USA, geez, it was right on their jerseys.
What did it say?
Southern Belt.
Yes. So, Yep, Troy. Used to be Troy State. So I did not watch that game, sadly. Who do you think is going to win the Pitt-Notre Dame game?
It's going to be a tough game. It is.
Yeah?
It is. But I think Notre Dame's going to win.
Yeah, I would probably lean that way. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. Do you remember when Pitt played Notre Dame and it was both Charlie Weiss and Dave Wannstedt's first game leading their new teams?
I can't remember back that far.
Yeah, it was Samardzija was really good, and Tom Zbikowski, and I think Brady Quinn was on that team. They were really, really good, and Notre Dame came in and swarmed them. I don't know if it'll go like that. I think it'll be it might be relatively close, but I don't know if Pitt will win. Anyway, and then the Steelers, will they win?
Cincinnati, they'll win.
Okay. All right. What else is on your head today?
Well, I was thinking about that place in Homer City.
Yes, tell me about it.
Well, why do people hate development?
You got me. You got me. I don't know. Some of them even get to be elected mayor of the city of Pittsburgh. The outgoing one. I don't know. Some people are so resistant to development that it's like they want the economy in the world to fail. I wish I could answer that question. I want to ask you a question about John Fetterman coming up next. There's a lot of questions, but I want to ask a big one coming up next. 866-391-1020, News Top of the Hour, KDK.